Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is John chapter 16, verses 16 through 22. The Reverend Hans Feeney is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Reading from the Gospel of St. John, 16th chapter. Jesus said, "A little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me." So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me. And because I am going to the Father." So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again, a little while and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. What an absurd thing for Jesus to say. After all, when he speaks these words, he speaks them just a few hours before he is going to be arrested, handed over to death. So he's not just generally telling his disciples that in a general sense they will generally experience a sense of joy that overall in the whole grand scheme of things won't be taken from them and will more or less be stronger than their sorrow when all things are added up. No, Jesus is speaking very specifically about the sorrow they are going to experience quite soon. The sorrow that's going to come when they look upon the cross. When they look at the cross, after all, what will they see? They'll see their Lord and their Savior die. The one who came to forgive their sins, to conquer the devil, and grant them eternal life. They'll see him breathe no more. They'll see their king die, the one who was supposed to rule from David's throne forever and usher in a glorious reign where sorrow and suffering would never be known. Kingdom that was never supposed to fade or crumble. And here in this moment, as they look upon the cross, they see that kingdom snuffed out before it even began. They'll see their priest die, the one who had come to speak to God for them, to see that their prayers were answered, to intercede for them, the one who would hide them from the wrath of God and his judgment. They'll see their teacher die, their friend die, their brother die. And when they do, every dream of salvation and victory will die with them. There is absolutely no greater sorrow that a man could experience than what the disciples experienced as they looked upon the face of Jesus as he closed his eyes in death. So here in just a few hours, they're going to be buried under an avalanche of sorrow. How on earth could Jesus tell them that soon their hearts would rejoice and no one would take their joy from them? I suppose there's a sense in which, as they looked upon Christ at the cross, those words seemed true, but in a very different sense. No one could take their joy from them because they didn't have any joy left to take. So how could Jesus possibly speak these words to them? How absurd. But of course, the gospel itself is absurd. Absurdly beautiful, absurdly joyful, and absurdly upending of all sorrow in this world. This is the foolishness and insanity and beauty of Christ's salvation. Jesus was always going to rise from the dead. The resurrection was always going to be his Father's response to Christ's crucifixion. The Father who gave his Son over to death was always going to raise him up from the grave and place into his hands every ounce of victory and power and dominion. Which meant that the disciples never truly had to fear the sorrow of Good Friday. Because of the resurrection, Jesus had promised. Jesus gave them the right to stare into the heart of the cross and to see it properly. Gave them the right to see through the sorrow and gaze upon the never-ending, indestructible joy that they would see fully when Christ rose from the tomb on the third day. So in the end, the only absurd thing about our gospel text for today is that the disciples let themselves become overwhelmed by the sorrow that Jesus had already robbed of its power before they even saw it. Don't share their absurdity when you stare into the heart of your sorrow. Does it grieve you to stare at your sins? Does it break your heart to look at the mountain of sorrow you have built through your transgressions? Well, on the one hand, it certainly should, because it truly is a mountain of sorrow, a mountain built from the idols that you forged out of your money and your pride. It's a mountain that you added to with every heart that you broke when you turned away from those who needed you. It's a mountain that you built and you despised your God and you loved the things of this world, treasures that will rot and fade, instead of loving the God who created you. You hated your neighbor. You hated your God. You built a mountain of transgression. So look at the watering eyes of the people you were supposed to love. The people who needed you to support and cherish them and defend them from a cruel, abusive world. And yet you turned away from them through your lust and your anger, greed and covetousness. That is the image, the sorrowful image of your own sin. And so it is for all other sorrowful images. When sinners tear you to shreds with their cruelty, when your flesh betrays you and riddles you with pain, when depression and sadness burrow into your mind and refuse to leave, when death grabs those that you love and pulls them away from you, what are you looking at? You are looking at the image of this fallen world, the image of a perverse and evil creation that refuses to be what God created it to be. So that's why you weep. That's the image that fills your eyes and rips the tears from your eyes. That's why your face is cast down, why your heart is filled with sorrow. But Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Lord, the King, the priest, the brother that you needed, Jesus Christ could not stand to see you buried underneath the mountain of your sin. He would not permit it. So out of love for you, He came to your rescue. A little while after he spoke these words to the disciples in our gospel text for today, he went to the cross and shed his blood for you, died for you. As the disciples gazed upon his face in that sorrowful image of Jesus breathing his final breath, there in that moment, he destroyed every ounce of corruption within you, erased from existence every act and moment of idolatry and pride, cruelty and wickedness. Through his agony and suffering, Jesus Christ destroyed every image of sorrow that you created. And with it, he destroyed every ounce of condemnation you had earned. Then, with that same blood, that same mercy and love, Jesus forgave the sins of everyone else. He forgave the sins committed against you, destroyed the power of the transgressions that other people tore into your flesh. Through his dying breath, Jesus destroyed not only your sins, but the sins of others that have wounded and grieved you the most. With that same blood, Jesus also ripped this world out of Satan's hands and swore to restore this world to perfection. This is why, as Jesus says in our text for today, the world rejoices as the disciples weep. And on the third day, as Jesus walked out of the grave, crushing sin, death, and the devil beneath his feet, he put the light of his resurrection into every sinful and sorrowful image that could ever fill your eyes. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Hear those words again, and then look up again. Look into the heart of this world's sorrows, and you will see that Jesus has kept his word. The Lord and Savior who died rose again. And because of this, there is no sin you can look at that does not glow with the light of the one who saved you from that sin. There is no sin that does not glow with the light that has already consumed it and erased it. There is no sin that is not overpowered by the light of Christ's forgiveness and his resurrection victory. The king who died rose again, and because of this, every act of wickedness that the world pours out upon you has been pierced with the light of Christ's kingdom, pierced with the fatal sword of Christ's victory, pierced with the promise that your king will indeed dry your every tear on the last day and never let the sins miseries of this world come near you again. The priest who died rose again, and because of this, every moment of sickness and uncleanness that you experience has been healed through the intercession of God's own Son. All of those things, all of those afflictions have now been filled with the promise of God's love, filled with the promise that the one who gave you peace with God through his intercession will soon give you a glorified body that will only know peace and never know suffering. The teacher, friend, and brother who died rose again, and because of this, then you can always see his light shining even in the darkest moments. In the moments when the parents who taught you to pray breathe their last, the moments when your friends and brothers who showered you in your love are lowered into the dust of the earth. Even in those most heartbreaking moments, you can look through your tears, you can look past your broken heart, and you can see the resurrection glory of Jesus Christ that gave every loved one you have who believed in him the right to live forever. Your guilt will not last. All your grief, all your pain, all your mourning, all your suffering, every image of sorrow will soon perish. These things have already been conquered by the light of Christ, and the day is coming when that light will shine so brightly that every atom of sorrow will burn into ashes, scatter into the wind, and never be seen again. So until that day, remember that nothing in this world can take away from you the joy that was made your eternal possession through faith in Jesus Christ. Because your Lord lives, your sorrow will always die. And as long as your Lord lives, it would be absurd for you to let go of the joy he gave you. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.